Made in America. That's what President Trump is focusing this week. And it's so important for us to begin to look back at the businesses in America and what's made in America. If we're going to make America great again, we've got to begin to build things again. And as a matter of fact, he's bringing all these businesses into the White House. And we're going to go there with him. Also, we're going to look at how a great spiritual awakening, Rodney Howard Brown talks about as ministers go in and lay hands on President Trump and pray for him. And we're beginning to see some pretty interesting things. And finally, we're going to look at the evidence of God in the human body. You're going to be so surprised as we find out something that's holding you all together right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
He said the seat of evil is going to come down, and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. Does it look like Tomahawk missiles in Syria? Does it look like Moab bombs in Afghanistan? Does it look like the carrier group right off the coast of North Korea? Of course, a lot of people who liked the status quo and people who were for aborting children, for funding Planned Parenthood, for befriending the enemies of Israel, they're upset right now. But the people that are for God, for Israel, for the country, for the Constitution, for Supreme Court justice that actually loves the Constitution and honors it, they're happy and for God.
They will shout, impeach, impeach, they say, but nay.
But we know that families and churches, not government officials, know best how to create a strong and loving community.
Saudi Arabia has always been keen to play its role in the region and in partnership with the U.S., so I think we are more than ready to cooperate with the United States on countering ISIS.
America is back again.
Mr. President, I appreciate the fact that you went to the Western Wall, and you're the first acting president who's done that. The people of Israel applaud you for it.
Israelis have experienced firsthand the hatred and terror of radical violence. Israelis are murdered by terrorists wielding knives and bombs. Hamas and Hezbollah launch rockets into Israeli communities where schoolchildren have to be trained to hear the sirens and to run to the bomb shelters with fear, but with speed, not with Donald J. Trump.
Is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land, and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. We're going to be talking about the president's Make America Great Again and also Made in America, as he's inviting business leaders to the White House. It's very exciting. But first, I want to talk to you about something very interesting, how God's designed your body. Remember, you're made in the image and the likeness of God. God's word says that you're held together by Jesus Christ. He holds everything together. Well, I thought this was a pretty interesting thing here, talking about the evidence of God. You're going to be really surprised as you see this thing. It's called laminum, what's inside of our body, what holds our body together, and what it actually looks like. Before you see this, I want you to remember this. Remember when Israel camped out in the wilderness? Do you remember that? When they had the tent of meetings in the middle and they lined their families out, their tribes out in a certain way. If you backed up and looked at a distance and looked at that, it looked like a cross. They actually camped in the form of a cross. Israel did when they camped out. You can find that in the Old Testament. But first, let's just find out how the evidence of God has shown so much in your body, but even down to the actual DNA. Check it out.
God will always hold you together, no matter what. It's by looking a little deeper into the human body, and it's a little protein molecule called laminin. That's about what I felt the first time I heard that. Long story short, the tour was winding down last time around. We were in Tyler, Texas. The night was over. A guy walks up to me. I wish I could tell you the whole story. It was so of God. Introduces himself to me, says, "How are you doing? I just want to say hello." I said, "It's nice to meet you." He says, "You guys winding the tour down. Where are you going to go from here?" I said, "Well, I'm on my way back home to Atlanta, Georgia." He said, "Well, what's next for you?" I said, "I'm going to be preaching the next two Sundays for my pastor back in Atlanta." He said, "Oh, cool. What are you preaching on?" I said, "Well, the series is on the glory of God in the human body." He said, "That's really amazing. I'm a molecular biologist at the university down the road. Give me your talk." And I was like, "Oh, wow." I wasn't quite yet ready to unload the talk for a molecular biologist. So I kind of stumbled through what I had, and he's kind of being kind and gracious and like, "Uh-huh, that's good." And then he says, "Well, what's your big left hook? You got to have a left hook, a big finish, right?" I said, "I don't have a left hook yet." He said, "Oh, Louis. Oh, man, your left hook is laminin." And I'm totally blank on laminin. And he goes, "Louis, it's a cell adhesion molecule. Protein molecule? Do you know about proteins?" I'm like, "No." He said, "Louis, cells organize into certain molecular structures, and that determines what protein there are. There are between 10 and 60,000 proteins in the human body. We don't even know how many proteins are in the human body. But one of them is a cell adhesion molecule. It's organized into this certain structure, and that tells the cell what its job is in the body. And this one is a cell adhesion molecule." And I'm like, "All right." He said, "No, Louis, it's like the rebar of the human body. The steel they put in the concrete when they lay the foundations of things, it's that stuff. It's holding your membranes together. It's the glue of the human body, Louis. It's laminin. You got to tell them about laminin." And I'm like, "I promise you, I'm going home and tell them about laminin. And I'm sure when I do, revival is going to sweep across the church and probably around the world when I tell them." He said, No. "You got to see laminin." Like, "Okay, let's see it." He said, No. "You need to go look it up online. You need to go Google laminin." I don't even know how to spell laminin. Takes his card out. He writes on the back, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. I'm like, "Okay, I cannot wait to get to my computer and get on Google, click on images, type in laminin," and I'm waiting, and these little thumbnails come up on the screen, and I'm like, "Wow. That's laminin, the cell adhesion molecule. Woo!" I am so excited. I am beside myself. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I love laminin. I'm so fired up. You should see laminin, I guess. That's the thing, right? Okay. Here is a scientific diagram of the laminin cell adhesion molecule that's holding your body together right now. Okay, this is what I found right here. No, come on, that's crazy. That's just crazy. I just can't believe it. I emailed that guy back so fast, I'm like, wow, what in the world? He said, "You want to see an actual laminin molecule?" I'm like, "Oh no, man, the diagram was cool for me. I'm happy with that. Don't bother sending anything else." I'm like, "Yes!" And he sends me this image, an electron microscopic image of an actual laminin protein molecule. It looks just like this. Boy, how crazy is that? That the stuff that holds our bodies together, that's holding the lining of your organs together, holding your skin on, is in the perfect shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately I'm thinking about the words of Paul in Colossians 1. You know this beautiful passage where Paul's talking about the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. He says, for by him, talking about Jesus Christ, all things have been created, things in heaven and things on earth. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. But then the next verse goes on to say this. It's crazy. And he, Jesus, is before all things. And in him, that is, in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. It's right there. I'm like, of course they do. Of course they do. Everything holds together in Jesus Christ. And he goes on at the end of this paragraph, and he just tells the story of grace. He says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on a cross.
So powerful, isn't it? I mean, you look at this. This is the laminin. When you're looking at this diagram, that's what holds everything together. Can you see it? There it is. Look at that. That's a diagram of it. And it's all throughout our whole body. You think about this. Everything is held together by Christ. You can pull that down. Listen, everything that we're made of is held together by the very thing that looks just like the very place that God met us in our need. He met us where we needed him. We could not accomplish what we needed to accomplish in life because we had fallen. Man had fallen in the garden. We had sin. We couldn't come in the presence of God, but he made it possible for us to meet him. He met us at a place called the cross. That's where he paid the price for our sins. The price that we couldn't pay. Jesus, think about this. God loved you so much that he gave his son, Jesus. And he lived on this earth sinless, didn't make any mistakes. He did everything the Father expected from him. And he was perfect. He did everything that the Father wanted him to do. But he loved you, and the Father loved you and loved me, and he knew to be in relationship with us, there had to be a price paid for the sin of man, your sin and my sin. And that sin price was paid on the cross. What we couldn't do that Christ, he accomplished on the cross. So when you think about it, you were known before the foundations of the earth, which means when God formed Adam and he formed Eve, he formed them with laminin. He formed them with the image of the place that he would meet us on the cross. That is so powerful. When you think about it, your whole body is joined together and held together by the laminin that looks just like the place where God was going to meet us, where he was going to sacrifice his son as a living sacrifice. A sacrifice to pay the price for our sins, to die on the cross, to be raised again on the third day, to sit by the Father. Father knew this day was coming. As a matter of fact, you can make a decision today to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You can meet him at the cross because he's no longer on the cross, but it represents the very fact that he paid the price for your sins. Listen, we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, and we met him, and we shared our testimonies at meetmyfather.org. You need to go there and find out a little bit about us and find out, listen, God loves you all and he can actually forgive you. He can bring you in right relationship. This is what it was. Before I knew Christ, I was dead in my sins, but I was made alive through Christ. The representation of the laminin that holds us all together. You think about it. Christ holds us all together. It's so exciting to be able to see even more stuff about how awesome God is. You know, in just a moment, we're going to go to the White House. And we're going to hear our president focusing on Made in America, celebrating our local businesses and people that make products all over our country. But before we go to the break, we'll take a quick look at what we're going to be seeing after the break. Take a look.
It's Made in America right here at the White House. We have all sorts of beautiful equipment and other items on the lawn, in the Rose Garden, all over the place. Made in America, it's the best.
just so exciting. Make sure you join us after the break, because we're going to go right into the White House and see this take place. Made in America. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome
back. Man, is this not exciting to see? First, it's interesting to see how, of course, how God has made our body. You know, we're made in the image and the likeness of God. And you're seeing how God, even in our structure, had in mind, Christ was crucified before the foundations of the earth. Before Beautiful. He even formed Adam, he had us in mind and how he was going to pay the price for us with his own son.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And he said, we decided to make man in our own image. Jesus was with the Father before the beginning of time. And how, you know, Jesus was willing to, he said, I look forward to have this moment when he with us. I'm just excited about the Lord.
Oh, and, it's just beautiful.
And what he's done. And that, but I'm also excited about the very fact that we're celebrating American business again.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such a dark mindset over the last 8 years about, you know,
you couldn't bring America up.
You couldn't apologize.
To bring America up would be a bad thing.
Yeah, you had to apologize if you actually had a wife and kids. You had to apologize if you loved America, if you loved the Constitution.
You really had to apologize, yeah.
If you thought highly of the founding fathers, you know, George Washington and the different ones that are there. And it was amazing how they were trying to rewrite all of our history. But God has given a pause in all that and given us a president who believes in the country.
Yeah.
And now he is focusing on what's made in America. Because a lot of people don't realize what's made here and what's not. And he's focused on this. Remember, we're going to go to the White House now and watch our president and our vice president celebrate your neighbor's business, maybe your business, and the different businesses that's made, the products that are made in America. It's exciting. Let's go to the White House now.
Well, good afternoon. Members of the cabinet, distinguished members of Congress, and all these incredible representatives of American businesses from all 50 states and our honored guests, on behalf of the President and the First Family, welcome to the White House. And thanks to the leadership of a president who believes in American manufacturing, welcome to Made in America Week here in our nation's capital. You know, it's the greatest privilege of my life to serve as vice president to a president who always puts America first and puts American manufacturing first. Our president knows that America is a nation of dreamers and doers, a nation of producers and growers and makers. And since the very first day of this administration, we've taken decisive action to promote and protect what he calls those three beautiful words, Made in America. In fact, this president has signed more laws slashing through federal red tape than any president in American history. Under President Trump's leadership, we've been fighting for trade that's both free and fair so that American businesses and American workers can compete and win with companies anywhere in the world. In fact, as we were just talking down the hallway, just last month, thanks to the president's leadership, American beef is now being shipped to China for the first time in 13 years. We've been unleashing American-made energy, rolling back the Clean Power Plan, approving the Keystone and Dakota pipelines, and when he did so, President Trump took executive action to make sure that new pipelines in America would be built by American workers using American steel. Thanks to the president's leadership, American manufacturers haven't been this optimistic in more than two decades, and the confidence of American farmers is soaring to near record levels, and they're going to continue to fight every single day to ensure that our country continues to make the best machines, grow the best food, and design the best technology in the world, because President Donald Trump knows that Made in America will make America great again. So, with gratitude for his leadership and admiration for his unwavering confidence in the boundless capacity of the American people, it is now my high honor and distinct privilege to introduce to all of you the 45th President of the United States of America, President Donald Trump.
Thank you, Mike. And, you know, Mike, it is true that as I walked through the halls, we saw so many great companies. But the gentleman who was in charge of Omaha Beef, they do beef, he hugged me. He wanted to kiss me so badly because he said, our business is a whole different business now because you got China approved. The other administrations couldn't even come close. And I told him, you know how long it took? One sentence. I said, President Xi, we'd love to sell beef back in China again. He said, you can do that. That was the end of that. Right? Sonny, the great Sonny Perdue. So we're very happy. But we're here today to celebrate American manufacturing and to showcase the amazing products from all 50 states made in the USA. Remember in the old days, they used to have made in the USA, made in America, but made in the USA. We're going to start doing that again. We're going to put that brand on our product because it means it's the best. In just a few months and moments, I will say what we've done over a short period of time and what we're going to be doing over the next 6 months will be incredible. We've signed more bills, and I'm talking about through the legislature, than any president ever. For a while, Harry Truman had us. And now I think we have everybody, Mike. I better say think, otherwise they'll give you a Pinocchio. And I don't like those. I don't like Pinocchios. In just a few moments, I'll be signing a presidential proclamation to launch Made in America Week and to make today Made in America Day. We are thrilled to be joined today by so many incredible members of my cabinet. Every member of my administration shares the same goal: to provide a level playing field for American workers and for American industry. And we are providing it much faster than other countries would like. So it's been really a pleasure. We want to build, create, and grow more products in our country using American labor, American goods, and American grit. When we purchase products made in the USA, the profits stay here, the revenue stays here, and the jobs, maybe most importantly of all, they stay right here in the USA. In the audience today, we have skilled workers, we have business leaders whose American-made goods we're proudly displaying all over the White House and outside. I saw fire engines, I saw tractors from Caterpillar, I saw some incredible machinery. Make it right here. We thank you for being here. We're honored to showcase your creations, and I will say they've really taken on, and some of you have built names that I know of for so long, and it's congratulations, right? You in particular. What a great job you've done. Thank you very much. And I saw you on television this morning. You were fantastic. I don't know what you're doing exactly, but you could always have a second career. You did a great job. Thank you very much. American workers, farmers, and innovators are really the best in the world. We know that, and what we're doing that is we're displaying those talents. You construct and harvest the products that fill our homes, feed our families, and defend our nation, and enrich our lives. I want to make a pledge to each and every one of you. No longer are we going to allow other countries to break the rules, steal our jobs, and drain our wealth. And it has been drained. It has been drained. You're going to see a lot of things happening over the next 6 months, you know, statutorily and through a lot of different legal, through the legal process. It takes a while to get it set so that you're allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it. But we've now mostly fulfilled all of that. And over the next short period of time, you're going to see things announced that you won't even believe for our country and for selling product in our country and making product in our country and things that are great for American jobs. You're going to be seeing that happening really quickly, because we are totally set up, and the hard part now is done. It is a long, horrible process, but we're going to also get rid of some of that process for the future. But we're going to stand up for our companies, and maybe most importantly, for our workers. For decades, Washington has allowed other nations to wipe out millions of American jobs through unfair trade practices. Wait till you see what's up for you. You are going to be so happy. This painful exodus of American jobs, and I've been talking about it for years, was also marked by a period of sluggish growth, falling incomes, surging welfare, and shrinking participation in the workforce. Clearly, it's time for a new policy, one defined by two simple rules. We will buy American, and we will hire American. Right, Governor? My administration is removing the burdens and regulations on your companies so that you can compete, thrive, and grow. How many of you have noticed this so far? Because it's a big, big difference, right? That's a big, big difference. The people are coming up to me. They can't even believe it. We took the farmers' land away. We took the home builders' land away. They have their land back now, and they're building homes, and they're farming their farms, and it's a beautiful thing to see, and they're so thankful. So a lot of those regulations have been taken off. The rest are coming off. And by the way, we will have better protection than we've ever had. But we'll also have something where you don't have to wait 15 years for a permit. And then when you go to the board, you lose. And that's a big portion of your life wiped out waiting for a permit. We're not going to let that happen. But for our nation to really prosper, we must lower the tax on business, one of the highest in the world, and we must repeal job-killing Obamacare. We have to do that. And I can tell you, We hope John McCain gets better very soon because we miss him. He's a crusty voice in Washington. Plus, we need his vote. And he'll be back. And he will be back sooner than somebody else would be back. He'll be back soon. But we need that vote, and we need a number of votes because we do have to repeal Obamacare, and we will end up replacing it with something that is going to be outstanding, far, far better than failing Obamacare, where premiums have gone up in some cases over 200% this year, where your every single element of it is bad. And the insurance companies, by the way, are fleeing. So people have – some states, you have no insurance companies. And we have some governors here, and we have senators here, and we have congressmen here and women. And I will tell you, it's a very, very hard time they're having with the Obamacare situation. So we're going to get that done, and I think we're going to surprise a lot of people. But they're pushing very hard. The Republican senators are great people, but they have a lot of different states. Some states need this. Some states need that. But we're getting it together, and it's going to happen. Right, Mike?
Yes, sir.
I think. And when it does happen, that will be a big day in America, believe me, big day in America. But we must also fight the unfair trade practices that have gutted our industry, and that includes cracking down on the predatory online sales of foreign goods, which is absolutely killing our shoppers and our shopping centers. If you look at what's going on with shopping centers and stores and jobs in stores, it's been very, very tough for them. They've had a very hard time closing at numbers and records that have never been seen before. So we have to stop that, the online predatory practices. Since the beginning of the year, we have already created over 50,000 brand new manufacturing jobs, and we're just getting started. We will lift our citizens from welfare to work. We will turn boarded up communities into new outposts of American commerce. And we will once again rediscover our heritage as a manufacturing nation. We used to be a manufacturing nation. Not so much anymore, but I will tell you, you look at Michigan, you look at some states that have really moved. You know, in Pennsylvania, 2 weeks ago, they opened a mine, the first mine that was opened in decades. Opened a mine. And you know all the people that were saying the mining jobs? Well, we picked up 45,000 mining jobs in a very short period of time. And everybody was saying, well, you won't get any mining jobs. Picked up 45,000 mining jobs. And the miners are very happy with Trump and with Pence. And we're very proud of that. But that's just the beginning. We have jobs coming from all over. Restoring American manufacturing will not only restore our wealth, it will restore our pride and pride in ourselves. It will revitalize our independence, and it will rebuild the bonds of kinship between our communities and our citizens, which has been lagging, wouldn't you say? For most of our nation's history, American American presidents have understood that in order to protect our economy and our security, we must protect our industry. And much of that comes at the border. George Washington encouraged Americans to produce their own goods so that our young nation could become truly independent. President James Garfield said of our nation's manufacturers that to them, the country owes the splendor of the position it holds before the world, meaning protect us. Theodore Roosevelt declared in his first message to Congress that reciprocity, my favorite word, reciprocity, because we have countries that charge us 100% tax on a product. And when that product is sold by them to us, we brilliantly charge them nothing. And people say, oh, that's free trade. No, that's stupid trade. That's really stupid trade. It's incredible. You'll actually have people who, no, we can't do that. That's free trade. It's just, that's so incredible. But what are you going to do? Oh, what happens in Washington, you just wouldn't believe the things. But reciprocity must be treated as the handmaiden of protection. And William McKinley proclaimed that we ought to take care of our own nation and her industries first. We have to look at our nation first for a change. We've been looking the other way for a long, long time. And if you look at what's going on and the success of other nations, even in Europe, you look at some of those countries, one in particular, it's not fair to the United States. And that's why I'm here. And I believe it's one of the primary reasons you elected me and Mike. I mean, that's why we're here. And I think you're going to see a big, big, I know you're going to see one of the great differences. And you're already seeing it, but it's going to get more so and more so. And we're going to end up having a level playing field. I don't want to say any more than a level. But if the playing field was slanted like a little bit toward us, I'd accept that also. Okay? So once again, we will celebrate craftsmen, producers, innovators like the incredible men and women in this room today. We will protect our workers, promote our industry, and be proud of our history because we will put America first. America will be first again. We will make America great again. Remember that. And we'll meet in this same room in a year and in 2 years, and you'll see what happened. Thank you all for being here. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. America Day and Made in America Week. And soon we're going to have Made in America Decades. We're going to have a lot of tremendous success, and it's already just starting to kick in. You see it with the job numbers. You see it with the stock market, which hit an all-time high every day for quite a while now. You see it with so many other things. And most importantly, perhaps, you see it with the manufacturers. Their level of enthusiasm is greater now than at any time since they've been taking this type of poll, and I believe it's 28 years old. So people are enthused. Are you all enthused?
Absolutely.
Thank you all for being here.
That's so exciting when you're seeing your businesses, the businesses in your community, in your state, in your region, being celebrated. I mean, it's just a whole new world, right?
Optimism, you know, being optimistic. Yeah. This is a beautiful thing.
It really is, man. It's just exciting because, you know, America has not been celebrated. I think about what Ronald Reagan did when he was in office, and they rebuilt the Statue of Liberty. They had, who was the singer that came out and sang God Bless America? She was a Christian singer. Sandy Patty came out and just loosed those awesome songs, and it was like, proud to be an American again.
There
you know?
Are many
Lee Greenwood.
People around the world that are rooting for America.
Yes.
And they need
yes.
America to succeed.
And much of the church is rooting. As a matter of fact, I know some of our brothers and sisters in China were praying for America because if America went dark, it would affect the entire world. And so we're seeing things turn in a positive way.
Most of the missionaries all over the world have come from America.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, yes. Yes. Definitely funding and those things taking place. So this is very exciting. We're very encouraged. It reminds me of VFN Kingdom Business. If you hadn't checked that out yet, you know, we're focusing on impacting these seven mountains, and business is one of them. You can find out more at vfnkb.org. But right now, I have this. We're going to come back from a break, and we're going to talk to you about ministers went into the White House.
Yes.
And President Trump allowed them to come in and pray with him, and they laid hands on him.
Yeah, I'm going to say not just pray. Yeah. They actually laid hands
and
on the president.
And to pray with him and pray for him. And he's always seeking prayer. I mean, he's asking for prayer. But it's just, they're even talking about a great spiritual awakening. So we'll talk about that after this break. But first, I want to be able to send you, I want to be able to give this to you free of charge. It's God's perspective of the poor. Do you know that God says, if we lend to the poor, we lend to him. How we take care of those who can do nothing for us really tells who we really are. And people call us this. They call us kings of the world. What are we doing with this great wealth? Well, here's some details right now. Check it out.
Offer 2037, God's Perspective of the Poor. Are Americans the kings of the world? I heard today on the news a Cuban businessman describing Americans as being the kings of the world. This message will explore that very notion as we consider God's perspective of the poor and how he expects us to relate to them. You'll discover that more than half of the world's population, 3.5 plus billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day, while America and the Americans are the wealthiest nation and people in the world. We'll discover how the Lord will look at our lives based on how we responded to the needs of those who are poor. This message will put your life, the lives of others, and eternal life into perspective as we learn that our eternal home will be determined by this very reality, by the words spoken by Jesus himself. This is a must-watch while there is still time to be the light that the Lord has called us to be to all, and especially the poor. How we treat the less fortunate reveals who we are as a person, but also in Christ Jesus. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PNB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2037, God's Perspective of the Poor. Are Americans the kings of the world?
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Conflict is going to happen. Hard times are going to happen. We're going to go through some really difficult seasons.
Dr. Greg Smalley on today's Focus on the Family Minute, offering some perspective to keep in mind when you have conflict in your marriage.
In how we go through those, we'll either keep our marriage strong or going to, you know, widen the gap towards, you know, maybe divorce, towards this disharmony. And I think for Aaron and I, looking back, I think one of the greatest things that I've learned is that we have to keep fighting for this relationship. God has given this amazing marriage as a gift. So in those moments, how do I continue then to fight for my marriage? And I think for me, it's just recognizing that when we go through hard times, first and foremost, man, we are under spiritual attack.
Remember to fight for your marriage and hear more from Greg today at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
Objective moral values exist only if God exists. Objective moral values do exist, therefore God exists. Now, in the first premise here, objective moral values exist only if God exists. This is challenged, of course, by the naturalist, challenged by the skeptic, but I'll tell you what, the struggle that they find when they turn away from objective moral values is a monumental struggle, because the fact of the matter is, outside of God, they are not able to anchor objective moral values, and yet intuitively they know that some objective moral values can be so certain within your own mind, and yet unable to anchor it, they move away then from that to try and come out with some other explanation, maybe a very subjective notion of this.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us.
Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. In just a moment, we're going to go to the White House and see ministers coming and laying hands with the president at his request and praying for him and just believing for a spiritual awakening. But first, we want to go and take a look at our unofficial field reporter in Jerusalem, Naftali, as he's talking about, is it safe to be a tourist and go to Israel? I say it is. I would go either way.
In a minute.
As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
Hi there, my name is Hanania, and today we're in Jerusalem. So I'm walking in the old streets of Jerusalem, looking for tourists I can interview and ask them the one question that bothers many. Were you afraid to come to Israel?
No, we're not, because we've been here like twice now. And it's we made only good experiences.
I was not afraid to come to Israel. This is actually our second time. And I was afraid to come to Israel in 2008, the first time we came. And like Marjorie, I mean, the safety and just the way the country is. And it's the holiest site in the world. So for me, it was more of a pilgrimage. And I feel very, very safe here and had no problems with coming again.
No. I was initially a little bit, skeptical and a little nervous. I was in Egypt before this, and then over to Jordan, and after being there for a month or so, it's totally different than what it's described in the West.
We're from the New York area, and so, we're probably safer here than where we come from.
Exactly. We know perfectly well that people live in danger everywhere they are, so Israel is no different.
So, were you afraid to come to Israel?
Yes, I was. Because of articles in the paper, because of some of my friends who were telling me, are you really going? And just mostly because of the terrorism all over the world, I just felt like we were closer to it here.
And has your opinion changed here?
Yes, I feel very safe.
Yeah?
So far.
No, I wasn't afraid to come to Israel. Like any place in the world, there's good parts to go to and that are safe and unsafe, and I felt this is very safe, and I'm looking forward to the rest of my visit here. It's my first time in Israel, and I'd recommend it to a lot of people.
And aren't you afraid to get stabbed in Jerusalem due to all the terror attacks that recently happened here?
Just stay away from areas that, there might be some activity. Not afraid. It's God's way. If I'm going to get stabbed, I get stabbed. But they better be able to run, because if I catch them, look out.
No, I was not.
Why?
There's a lot of media about things going on, but I guess because we're going in a tour group, so I figured I knew that we'd be safe and that we'd be good. You know, we'd go in places that wouldn't be anything going on.
You know, it is kind of a crazy time in the world right now, but we knew we were going to be safe here. They've done these trips many times, and like,
they said it pretty well, but you can't live in fear. Cool country.
Not really. A little concerned, but I feel safe when I'm here. Never been that nervous traveling.
I was not afraid. We've been through parts of the West Bank. It's safe. I just never had any doubt or fear. I don't live in fear in the United States, and I wouldn't be in fear here either.
Don't let your fears stop you from coming to Israel, because Israel is safe. Maybe you have friends that are too worried about coming to Israel. So please share this video on your social networks and let's spread the truth about Israel, that it's of course a safe country. Remain in God. Love you.
That's so powerful. I want to encourage you, if you haven't been to Israel, you want to go, you'll be so blessed.
You'll
John and I have been, Pat's been. And it's just so encouraging to go, you know, where the Lord walked.
There's
and
no place
back.
Like going to Israel. There's no
none.
Place.
There is no place like going to Israel. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, we're going to go right to the White House where ministers laid hands on President Donald Trump and prayed for them. We're actually going to show you that taking place. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, we're going back to the White House. John, tell us what's happening with the ministers coming in, laying hands and praying for the president.
Yes, actually pretty amazing. Uh-huh. Evangelist Rodney Howard Brown.
Put that up while we're talking, if you would.
Yeah, we have an image. That's his.
What's going on here?
That's his hand and his wife's hand. And you see other ministers there. You see the vice president as well.
The hair looks familiar. That's President Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's President Donald Trump, and they're
in the Oval Office.
In the Oval Office by invitation of Paula White.
Oh, yeah, that's the minister that led him to the Lord, according to Brother John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence.
Totally amazing. Yeah. And evangelist and pastor Rodney Howard Brown says it's really the beginning of a spiritual awakening. And we got to talking about this. This is really, truly historic. I mean, there has never been a U.S. president that's been so openly for Christianity, Christians, and ministers being so well received in the White House. And I think it's just going to truly begin to open a huge hole of blessings for our nation.
You know, just like, I forget the minister that said he'd never heard God mentioned so much in the inauguration.
It was Perry Stone.
Perry Stone. And one minister after another just gave God glory in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of God of Abraham, Isaac, and
Unapologetically.
Jacob.
Unapologetically.
Unapologetically. And, you know, it was just so exciting. God sees these things.
Oh, yeah.
And God has established these things, and it looks like the mercies of the Lord is just moving powerfully. And God, if you look at the biblical precedents for what's being set, that when we see a people that humble ourselves, and that's humble. You see a president bowing his head, allowing people to come in and pray for him, and that's your White House. It's the government. And we're going to begin to see what we believe is a great awakening that's going to take place in America. I know we're fixing to close out and pray, you know, for you right now. But listen, let's just pray for a great awakening. Let's join the president in saying, listen, we want a great awakening. Father God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and we pray for our audience, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for them. We just pray a blessing over them. We thank you for the businesses that are being honored again once in America. We thank you for creativity. We thank you for entrepreneurship, Lord. We thank you, God, for capitalism, where people's able to borrow, get money, to be able to invest in their ideas and their schemes, God. And we just thank you for our president who's humbled himself before you, Lord. Hear his prayer. Hear our prayer, God. End abortion. Send revival. Move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness. Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide, and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just, it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord and how they can spend time with God and how they can abide and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago. And as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and that's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey is being blessed. The Bronx, you know, in New York is being blessed. And so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.